In the intention, we should also make two discernments. One, to aim that now he is performing the mitzvot of the Creator. Two, aim for the reason that makes him observe the mitzvot of the Creator. However, in this regard, we should make several discernments. One, he is observing the mitzvot of the Creator, for by this, people around him will respect him and so forth. It follows that what compels him to keep the Creator's mitzvot is people, and not the Creator. That is, exile. Since he is not observing the mitzvot of the Creator, because he wants to observe what the Creator said, but he must observe because people on the outside are chasing him, and he cannot suffer greater torments than the torments of observing mitzvot. For this reason, this manner is worse than the first. It follows that there are two discernments in aiming to observe Torah and mitzvot. One, out of fear and coercion. Two, out of love, when he is happy when he observes Torah and mitzvot. There's also another discernment in the reason that makes him observe Torah and mitzvot. It is called walking humbly. This refers to the actions. So everything he does, no one sees or hears of his good deeds, and he does everything in concealment. In terms of the intention, it is certainly hidden from the eye of every living thing. But in the intention, there are two discernments to make. One, he is observing Torah and mitzvot, and there's nothing here that is because of people, since no one knows about his work. Rather, the reward that the Creator pays for listening to him is the reason compelling him to observe Torah and mitzvot. This manner is regarded as believing in the Creator and believing in reward and punishment. Thus, the reward and punishment is the reason compelling him to engage in Torah and mitzvot. We can call this manner working lishma, meaning for the Creator and not for people to respect him. This is certainly clean work, which is entirely for the Creator. One, with respect to actions, he does not want anyone to see his good deeds, so they will reward for him for it. Two, with respect to intention, he does not require people to pay him anything for this work in Torah and mitzvot. Rather, he wants the Creator to pay his reward for his work. One, the first is because of fear and coercion. Two, the second is because of love. Here, however, the reason is only that the Creator compels him. Yet since he wants reward in return for his work, by this he becomes separated from the Creator due to disparity of form. For this reason, his work is still incomplete. Complete work means that he works in concealment. His intention is that only the Creator compels him to engage in Torah and Mitzvot, and other people have no grip on this, on his work. At the same time, he's working not in order to receive reward, but only for the Creator. This is regarded as wanting to adhere to the Creator, as in, as He is merciful, so are you merciful. This means that all His work is in order to bestow, and He derives great satisfaction from the privilege of serving the King. From this, he derives pleasure and joy. And he has no other need to be given anything. Rather, when he observes Torah and Mitzvot in utter simplicity and cannot aim any intentions, he settles for this as though he can serve the King with an important service. It's like a person working for the King as a cleaner compared to one who is the King's minister and advises the King wherever the King needs his help. There is certainly a great difference from the King's cleaning man, both in salary and in the respect of the King's minister. The lesson is that there is certainly a difference between one who is serving the King when he has been rewarded with the secrets of Torah are revealed to him and he entertains himself with the King, and one who is a commoner observing Torah and Mitzvot without any understanding of the intellect of the Torah. Rather, he is happy that he has been privileged with observing the King's mitzvot, which he has given to him. He enjoys this more than any worldly pleasure, since the pleasures of this world seem to him as though they are serving the body. Since the pleasures of this world serving the body, which is flesh and blood. But when he engages in utter simplicity, which is the simplest work, like a cleaner in the King's house, but says, at the end of the day, whom do I want to please? The King. He does not want to serve himself, called will to receive for his own sake. But his intention is that the Creator will enjoy his work. This is so because specifically when he works not in order to receive reward, but entirely to bestow, he has equivalence of form called Dvekut with the Creator. But if his intention is to receive reward from the Creator for this work, for his work, then he is deemed a receiver. And the Creator is the giver. It follows that there is no dvekut with the Creator here, but to the contrary, there is separation, for he is in oppositeness of form from the Creator. By this, we will understand what we asked. What is the meaning of walk humbly with your God? The literal meaning is that here is the beginning of the work called Lishma. It is as Rabbi Meir said, he who learns Torah Lishma, henceforth he is rewarded with many things, and the secrets of Torah are revealed to him, and he becomes like a springing stream. It therefore follows that we should distinguish between the work of the general public and the work of the individual. The work of the general public refers to the whole of Israel, who learn Torah as a practice. In other words, in actual fact, there are 70 nations in the world, and there are good people with good qualities, and there are the opposite, wicked. In other words, in the world in general, there are many people. There, the order of the work is that the act is what matters. It's impossible that they will mind the intention to make it lishma. Instead, they are told, from lo lishma, we come to lishma. Also, their work does not need to be in concealment. Instead, the order is that each one tells his friend how much good deeds he has and how much time he dedicates to Torah and Mitzvah and work. This is so on purpose, and there are two benefits from it. One, it benefits the teller, since when he sees that someone is envious of him, it motivates him to work. That is, he has the power to work for others because he thinks that his friend will respect him for his work. It follows that this gives him fuel for work. Important personality. It therefore follows that it is difficult to serve the Creator not in order to receive reward. And a person expects some return. It is not enough for a person to serve the king because he lacks the faith in the greatness of the Creator. Since otherwise, it is natural that the small one annuls before the great one. When a person is accepted by the public as a great personality,
בזמן שהאדם זה מקובל ברבים שהוא גדול ולכן
for this reason when a person can no longer feel the greatness of the creator he must work in לא לשמה
וזה הסיבה שהאדם עושה
this is why a person engages in Torah and Mitzvot in order for people to respect him However, this is so only because only where he is in an environment that respects servants of the Creator. When one is among secular people, he certainly works in concealment so as not to receive contempt from them instead of respect. However, once a person has crossed the stage of the general public, if a person awakens and wants to come out of the general public, meaning to be enslaved to the public, meaning that according to what the general public determines as the work of the Creator, this is what he can observe. But what is not accepted by the public, and he feels that the work of the general public is not the final stage, but he has an inner drive that there is the issue of work that pertains specifically to individuals, where each individual contains the collective, then the matter of Lishma begins to be revealed to him. It is as Maimonides says, until they gain more knowledge and acquire much wisdom, they are shown that secret bit by bit. They are accustomed to this matter calmly until they attain him and know him and serve him with love.
It follows from all the above that there is the wholeness of the action and the wholeness of the intention. Once a person keeps the wholeness of the action, which pertains to the general public, then begins the work on the wholeness of the intention. This is when one must try to make the cause compelling him to observe Torah and mitzvot be the Creator, since he wants to bestow upon the Creator because he believes in the greatness and importance of the Creator. For this reason, he regards it as a great merit if he succeeds in serving the king. This work is called concealed work. Here, the work is primarily on the intention, which is not revealed to anyone. That is, not a single person in the world can know the reason that compels his friend to work in Torah and mitzvot. Accordingly, we can explain the meaning of Havaya, that includes fear and love, which are Yud-Hei, and Torah and Mitzvah, which are Vav-Hei. We'll explain them one at a time. One, fear means that one should be afraid lest he will bring little contentment to his Maker. As it is written in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, both the first fear and the second fear are not for his own benefit, but only for fear that he will lessen bringing contentment to his Maker. Fear is the first mitzvah, because it is impossible to truly believe in whole faith that he will not come into heresy before he has been rewarded with fear. It is, as it is written in the introduction of the Book of Zohar, it is a law that the creature cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator for the creature to perceive him as an evildoer. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him to the same extent, and the superior operator is concealed from him. Yet, when a person does all his works in order to bestow, at that time the kelim are fit to receive the delight and pleasure, and then there is faith upon him, because in that state he attains the Creator as the good who does good. It is as it is written in the Sulam. Thus, it is no wonder that we are still unworthy of receiving his complete benefit. For this reason, his guidance of good and evil has been prescribed for us. It follows that this is the root of faith by which we can be rewarded with permanent faith. For this reason, the order of the work is from below upward. This is why the Torah, which is Vav of Havaya, comes first, since through it he later achieves fear. However, one who learns Torah with a different aim, not in order to achieve fear of heaven, this is not regarded as Torah, but as knowledge. It is as our sages said, should a man tell you, there is wisdom in the nations, believe. There is Torah in the nations, do not believe. Since Torah belongs to those who learn in order to achieve fear of heaven. 4. Mitzvah. This is Hay of Havaya. And extends from love, which is the first Hay of Havaya. Because of this, performing the mitzvot should be with love and joy of observing the king's commandments. Here too, we learn from below upward. Meaning, by a person exerting to observe the king's mitzvot with love, by an awakening from below that causes an awakening of above, where the Creator reveals His love for Israel. As it is written, you loved us and wanted us. It follows that through Torah, fear appears. And through mitzvah, love appears. This means that a person should begin the order of the work from below upward. 1. First mitzvah, which is the last hay of Havaya. 2. Then Torah, which is Vav of Havaya. 3. Then love, which is the first hay of Havaya. 4. And then fear, which is the yud of Havaya. That is, by observing Torah and mitzvot, they cause the unification of the Creator and His Shekhinah, since Malchut is called a vessel of reception for the upper abundance, and the Creator is called the Giver. This is why there is no unification here, called equivalence of form. But when we engage here, below, in acts of bestowal, each one causes equivalence of form in the root of his soul. And this is called unification, like the Creator, who is the Giver. It is as it is written in the Zohar, the letter He is a confirmation of things. The meaning of the matter is, take with you things and return to the Creator. Certainly, when a person sins, he causes the hay to move farther from the Vav, since Ben Yud Kei, which is Vav, comprises Yud Kei Vav and departed from the letter Hey. This is why the temple was ruined and Israel were removed from there and were exiled among the nations. And this is why anyone who repents causes the Hey to return to the letter Vav, and redemption depends upon this. From that point where we agree on the greatness of the friends of the society of the path, from here there is a leap in gathering this and then grasping onto the greatness of the Creator. How can we make that leap? How can we gather these points of this greatness and aim it all at the greatness of the Creator?
From wanting to connect between us, and the connection between us called Ten, we raise its importance more than anything that we have, and we wish to raise the importance of the Ten towards the Creator.
That concept of the Creator, that we act for Him, that we want to grasp onto His greatness. You say that we need to work with the Ten out of the greatness of the Creator, or in that we work with the Ten,
we'll reach the greatness of the Creator.
Yeah, we'll reach the greatness of the Creator. So how does that act? How does that work? Can you explain?
We still don't have vessels. We have feelings. And so there aren't many words here.
It's like a puzzle. A child who knows that his mother is caring for him and cooks well, and she's at the greatness of the mother, that personality of the mother, that concept of the mother, he doesn't grasp onto that. In the meantime, he needs some kind of leap, like accumulating all these data points into one big greatness. So here is my question. How do we leap into the greatness of the Creator from everything we've received?
From connection between us. From connection between us, in which the greatness of the Creator is.
Yes.
What's the transition between a beginner student who acquires lots of knowledge to a person when he says, I'm not going to engage in that, I'm only going to engage in the correct way?
The difference is that he wants to grasp all the wisdom of the Torah in external vessels without getting close to the Creator, but rather getting close to what seemingly the Torah talks about. And later, when he understands what's up to him to do, then he begins to recognize, to attain, that first he has to get closer to the Creator. And to the extent that he gets closer to the Creator, then he will connect to the Torah and the mitzvot in the right way. Yes, Dudi?
How does a person start working in a way where he only works for the Creator and not out of an intention for external people? How can he start working in a way where he only works for the Creator, where he calculates only in relation to the Creator and acts according to his commands and not for external people?
So he has to work on greatness of the Creator, so that in his eyes it'll be more than anything there is, than anything that can be revealed, that the main thing is the revelation of the Creator.
And then it's completely detached from the influence of the environment?
Relatively. But he's in an environment and he essentially is in contact with them, advances with them, but along with it, he appreciates the greatness of the Creator more than anything.
And what about the work in the ten? What changes in the work in the ten? Because in any case, there are friends that he wants to serve, that he wants to receive from them. It's not that he completely detaches.
No, he takes this as a means. As a means. By connecting to the friends, he can't come to just unity with the friends and thus with the Creator. He rather takes these things as a means to awaken himself and the Creator to getting closer, and then this closeness to the Creator will happen to him.
When a person has no greatness of the Creator, then the friends in the ten can help him get the greatness of the Creator. And when a person has the greatness of the Creator, yes, what's the role of the ten?
To connect to Adam and reach the ten as one and discover the Creator.
Grasping onto the greatness of the Creator. How can we make that leap? How can we gather these points of this greatness and aim it all at the greatness of the Creator?
From wanting to connect between us, and the connection between us called ten, we raise its importance more than anything that we have, and we wish to raise the importance of the ten towards the Creator.
That concept of the Creator, that we act for him, that we want to grasp onto his greatness. You say that we need to work with the ten out of the greatness of the Creator. Or in that we work with the ten,
we'll reach the greatness of the Creator.
Yeah, we'll reach the greatness of the Creator. So how does that act? How does that work? Can you explain?
We still don't have vessels. We have feelings. And so there aren't.
One big greatness. So here is my question. How do we leap into the greatness of the Creator from everything we've received?
From connection between us. From connection between us, in which the greatness of the Creator is revealed.
It's not something point, but it's something that we gather between us.
Yes, all spiritual discernments only come from the connection between us.
Yes.
writes here that in the work of the Creator there are 4 degrees, still vegetative, animate speaking, and each one of them we work on receiving pleasure and delight. But the speaking degree, which is called the work of the Creator, it says that it's as if in concealment. So where is the pleasure and the delight if it's always, if all your work is always concealed from everyone?
Well, we'll get to it. We'll see.
So what's the fulfillment in the vessels? Because he says that afterward as well, afterward in the article he writes that the work is on the wholeness of the intention.
We, in our work, we find that vessels are not what we thought, and the fulfillment in them is not what we thought. Rather, there are other discernments here. That's it.
That's clear. Question is, what is fulfillment of, what is fulfillment in intention?
That I have an intention and I wish by it to relate to the friends or the Creator, then I receive fulfillment through the intention.
So the vessels, it's already not a desire, but your intentions become your vessels?
Yes. My relation to the friends, my relation to the Creator, that becomes my vessel.
So if this work is concealed work, the intentions of a person, how can he receive fuel and strength for that? Because everything is concealed.
From the friends.
But how? You don't see, you cannot see the their intentions.
It doesn't matter. You describe them and depict them as great.
You depict the intentions. It doesn't matter what the intentions are, you depict the intentions.
Yes. Yes.
Rabbi speaks about the wholeness of the action and the wholeness of the intention. He says that it's possible to reach the wholeness of the intention only after you have the wholeness of the action. I want to ask about that, meaning, what is wholeness of action for us? What is this action that's spoken about here? What do we need to be whole in?
Turns out that if, say, according to my degree, according to the state that I'm in, I clarify all of the desires, intentions, actions that are all aimed at the Creator, this is called my wholeness for the time being.
He makes a differentiation between action and intention. I think he spoke about intention, and he says that
yes,
he cannot reach the wholeness of the intention without reaching the wholeness of the action. So I want to ask, in our work, what's the wholeness of the action?
In our work, the wholeness of the action is connection between us in the 10 to an unbounded degree, as much as possible.
How can a person check if he's in the direction of making the wholeness of the action, of the connection between us?
That's an individual matter. It's the extent to which he feels that this is all he's got, and he's drawn to it with all his strength.
I'll ask it from another direction. Is there a way of advancing to intentions before a person feels the wholeness of the actions, where he did everything he needs to do, that, as you said?
No. No. Then how can he let go of that and engage in this?
Okay, so this is why I'm asking about the wholeness of the action. So what does it mean that we come to a state where we connect between us? We connect between us, that's a sentence we hear from you for years, and each time it always eludes us. But yes. What is that connection between us?
Connecting between us means to attain the vessels of the friend and participate with them with all of one's strength.
What vessels of the friend do I need to attain?
What he needs to fulfill.
I'll give an example. So let's say a friend lacks a corporeal job. He has this corporeal problem.
Okay, it's a good example.
So I need to make this wholeness of the action. So that means I need to engage in the friend, making sure that he gets that job that he's looking for to help him solve that problem.
Yes.
Meaning, just one step further. All the needs of the friends, I don't make any discernment.
No sorting. Yeah.
I don't say that they're okay, not okay, reception, bestowal, what doesn't interest me. But there are friends, I have needs, I try to fill them.
Yes.
In a very simple way like that.
Yes.
Po'el nikayon bebet ha-melech.
A person who's a cleaner in the temple, what is he thinking about?
He thinks about how to invest himself in his work to adhere to the king. Yes, Moshe.
You said that connecting is attaining the vessels of the friend. That's how I heard, and then to fill them, right?
Yes.
And with the Creator, it's the same?
No, we don't ascribe some vessels to the Creator.
The Creator has no kli that we need to fill?
His vessel is our desires that we fulfill in order to bestow.
So it's enough for me to fill the deficiency of the friends and then say that behind them is the Creator, and that's enough. And then what's this division between doing and not doing? That you shall do and you shall not do?
I have to scrutinize in what actions of mine do I fulfill the vessels, or in what actions do I move away from fulfilling the vessels.
I didn't really understand. He says here, in the fulfillment of the deficiencies of the friends, what's that? What's you shall do?
How can I assist them in getting close to the Creator? I do that. This is called the mitzvah, or the action. And this is the action. And what I see that I can't, that I'm incapable of bestowing that to them and assisting them, then I prevent myself from doing that.
Not to harm? Why is the fear the last degree here and not love?
Fear is the first commandment. In which without fear we cannot enter any other action. because we're working with the will to receive.
For instance, if I love my son, first I feel love towards him. That's like the top. Then fear is in the background that I'm constantly thinking how to fill him out. But love is the purpose, not the fear. Here it seems that the fear is the most,
because you're turning about in relation to the Creator.
But doesn't he want to be revealed to the created beings? Doesn't he want us to be in connection and love towards one another?
No, but you don't relate to him as one who has a lack. We relate to the Creator who has everything except our love, which we need to develop. And then the fear we discover is our love, not the fear between us. I have nothing to fear the Creator. Only the extent in which I'm in fear to not bestow him.
Always be lacking.
We always need to check whether our love stands upon the fear.
The reason behind it all, which is the greatness of the Creator, and not what the created beings think, but this,
the greatness of the Creator, yes.
Is it something that you attain in a constant level? Does it cover reality all the time?
Probably, yes. According to what they write, yes. That is our goal. To attain it fully.
That I just feel it in my bones stronger than everything.
Yes.
No.
Well.
To continue what Eyal was asking, he writes that there's wholeness of the deed and wholeness of the intention, and after a person already keeps the wholeness of the deed, then the work and wholeness of the intention starts. So it's like he's dividing the work in a linear way. First, to work on the perfection of the deed, the wholeness, and only afterwards to work on the intention, if I understand. First on the revealed, then the concealed. But we learn that the intentions ride on the deeds, and we're working in parallel all the time.
Yes, both in this and in that.
So, what is the intention that we need to reach first? The wholeness of the deed. That first the person has to scrutinize what?
There needs to be a scrutiny of the extent in which I understand that all my actions need to be aimed only to the Creator in order to fill Him. And by this, I don't take into consideration any labor, exertion that I must put forth.
Where is the point of importance in man's work and his scrutiny? Where is my intention, my reason, or am I doing all the deeds I need to do?
In him, in the Creator.
Thank you.
Only
hello, Rav. Question for a friend. A child can act and play very well. They can pretend to be certain things coupled with the emotions or mindset of that thing. Based upon the writings and your teachings, is it proper to assume that the Creator receives great joy in our studies and efforts to love another?
According to what Kabbalists write to us, even if we don't feel, but we can get an impression that the Creator really enjoys us engaging in His Torah and in His study, and that we're thankful to Him for preparing this for us.
Woman Turkey 7.
Selam sevgili Rav, selam sevgili dostlar. Çalışmada birbirimize eylemsel olarak da örnek olmamız önemliyken bazen kişinin yaptığı eylemler onun alçak gönüllü olmasına değil gurur hissetmesine neden oluyor. Bu durumda kişi alçak gönüllü olmayı nasıl başarabilir? Teşekkürler.
Good morning, Rav friends. It's important to give each other examples in the work, but sometimes it makes a person proud. How can we reach a state of concealment of the deeds?
We need to make the calculations also for being humble with the Lord, nevertheless. Meaning the fact that I need to give to my friend some example from the spiritual work, which I do. So I need to perform upon it two actions. By me lowering myself to a regular degree as if I didn't do it. And then an additional lowering so that I will make from this previous feeling a descent towards him. Meaning here, in the work of a person with a friend, when he wants to pass to the friend his certain impression from spirituality, he must diminish himself, restrict himself, prepare himself in such a manner that all the work he does becomes that it comes from love. And then love includes those two degrees in which we talk, which we talked about, and we don't fall into the trap of the network of...
The letter Hey.
We can't give anything back to the Creator. We also don't need to because He lacks nothing. His lack is only by Him giving us all kinds of forms of fillings, and we receive it in order to bestow to Him. I think the moment a person truly begins to perform acts of bestowal internally, not external. External depends on all kinds of external conditions around him. But if one comes to truly wanting to fulfill his actions with an inner attitude towards others, then his actions begin to invert and make themselves acts of that are not disclosed outwards.
Raf, is this what they call repentance? Repentance of fear.
Ken.
Yes.
And when what is the tipping point that you come, let's say, from repentance of fear to repentance of love? What is happening there?
When the fear remains in you as an inner quality, and what operates you is love already.
To bestow.
We can give back to the Creator the same attitude that we feel, the way He relates to us and to the friends. And let's hope that we will be able to execute this.
Turkey 10, woman.
Women Turkey 10.
Selam sevgili Rab. Kendimizi kötü hissettiğimiz anlar egomuzun bizi Yaradan'dan uzaklaştırması mı? Yoksa Yaradan'ın bize kendisine dönmemiz için verdiği bir fırsat mı?
There are moments when we feel bad. In those moments when we feel bad, is that our ego pulling us away from the Creator? Or is it an opportunity the Creator is giving us to come close to Him?
The opportunity in which we can, in those moments, make a leap towards Him, as if we want to go up on His and be on His hands like a baby, on His arms. And those are very good.